Hey, you're listening to the Geeks for the Win podcast with your host, William, a.k.a. PoetXO44, and his co-host, Stuart, known across the internet as Casual Tater, and maybe even a special guest or two. They will indulge your geeky fascination with movies, TV shows, video games, and comic books, anything and everything considered geek. And now over to William.
And welcome to another episode of the Geeks for the Win podcast, the podcast where we cover all things geeky. This is episode number 15, and our main focus today will be on Doctor Who Season 5. But first, I am your host, William, aka PoetXO44, and I'm joined today with my co-host, Stuart.
Known across the internet as Casual Terror.
And like I said, we're talking about Doctor Who Season 5. And we're going to talk about a rumor later on in the show, but we wanted to wait for, you know, BBC America to show all their episodes, and, you know, because some of you, our listeners, are watching it on BBC America, and if you're still watching it and this, you're listening to this before, you know, it airs, the last episode airs, then you may want to, you know, pause it, play it after, you know, listen to this after you see the end, because we're going to spoil the hell out of the ending.
Yes, we will. Yes.
So, this is a warning to you. Originally, we thought BBC America had it all done, but they took a couple weeks off during the 4th of July, and so, yeah. But we couldn't wait any longer, so here we are. And Stuart, on paper, this is like the best thing for you, according to for Doctor Who. I mean, Stephen Moffat.
Yes, going into this, I was so excited to see how Stephen Moffat would, because the previous episodes that he's written, they have been my favorite for that season. So I was really looking forward to going into this to see what he would do with it. And I knew that, you know, it would be a little slow getting into, you know, him writing with the new doctor, you know, new everything. It'd be a little slow, kind of like it was with Russell T. Davies.
Yeah, and not to mention, his episodes in the past have always been, like, the creepiest.
Yeah, he does creepy very well.
And with that said, I guess we can get into the first episode, entitled The 11th Hour. Where basically, you know, the doctor, you know, he regenerated, and basically the TARDIS gets wrecked, and, you know, his sonic screwdriver's wrecked and all that, and he crashes into a yard, and, you know, he sees a little girl, which we find out is Amelia Pond. What did you think of that whole, you know, scene with the doctor and the little girl, Stuart?
I liked it, you know, but it was a bit weird with the food, like, yeah. Him trying everything. You know, he did kind of understand, you know, new mouth, new taste buds, but fish custard is, just...
Yeah.
It's a bit gross to me.
Yeah.
I mean, and,
he didn't like bacon. Come on now. How can you not like bacon?
I was about to come up to that. How he, after that episode aired, I follow the Doctor Who. Anytime somebody mentions Doctor Who, it comes up on my feed on Twitter. And a lot of people were saying, "You're Scottish, fry something."
Oh, that was one of the
best
lines.
That was the best line of the episode, according to Twitter.
Oh, I love that line. But, I listened to some Doctor Who podcasts, and a lot of people kind of liked that scene, according to me, or according to, you know, my perception of it. But I just thought it was a bit too goofy.
It feel like that episode... feel like they were trying to get the younger audience to like Doctor Who. Like, they were really trying to reach out to not, you know, not really the fans of the older show, not really even the fans of the previous season like us, but younger than us. Like, they were trying to get to them to like Doctor Who.
Yeah, I could see that, but I, like I said, it seemed too goofy, and to, you know, a lot of fans like us we were hesitant, you know, with Matt Smith being the Doctor, and you know, we had our doubts, and to open up the, you know, show with that kind of had me worried for a bit.
Yeah, I did like the whole swimming pool in the lot library.
Oh yeah, when he was talking about the TARDIS.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting too. But then after that, the Doctor, you know, he leaves, and he's supposed to be back in what, 5 minutes?
Yeah, 5 minutes.
5 minutes. He comes back, you know, no little girl anymore.
No, it's like 12 years later.
Yeah, and you know, he comes back and he sees, you know, the little girl, of course, but now she's Amy Pond.
Well, no, that's not. He doesn't really realize it's Amy Pond, though.
Well, I'm not saying he does, but it is.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. And you know, it turns out he's got to save the world again.
Of course.
I mean, and he's got 20 minutes to do it. But before we get on to that, I thought it was funny how we know is Amy Pond, and she's all dressed up in the police uniform, and we're like, oh, is she a police officer?
Yeah, well,
and that's not the case.
Yeah. Yeah, it turns out she's a kissogram.
Yeah, which, what exactly is a kissogram? Like, I kind of have an idea, but do you know the exact thing? I mean,
we were kind of hoping that Cookie would be back on this episode, but he moved and lost his mic, so he was unable to join us.
Yeah.
So we could have asked him. What I guess a kissogram is kind of like, you know, a telegram that, you know, somebody opens the door, kisses them. That's kind of what I figure a kissogram is.
Yeah, that just seems weird though. I don't know. Like, maybe that's just the, you know, American, you know, Great Britain, whatever.
England. It's a different country.
It's in a different continent too. But yeah, I guess it's just lost, you know, in translation, or so to speak. But back to saving the world. What did you think of the Doctor's 20 minutes to save the world?
I didn't really feel like it was much of a time constraint. Kind of like the way that 42 was, because that one also had a time constraint with that. It didn't feel, I don't know, I completely forgot he had 20 minutes to save the world. I really don't think it mattered. He would have saved it no matter what.
Yeah.
Even if he had 5 minutes, he would have done it.
Definitely. I thought it was kind of convenient he was able to, like, you know, hack in and talk to all, like, the world leaders or whatever.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of a little too convenient, but...
Well, it's Doctor.
I know. But at the end, what did you think about the end with the whole, you know...
Well, there were rumors that David Tennant was going to show up in this episode. Technically, he did.
Yeah.
So did Christopher Eccleston, Tom Baker, and all the others. They were all in it.
All the other 10 doctors.
Kind of like the way they were all in the new doctor. It was just a video flashback.
Yeah. Like, a lot of people like that, though.
Yeah, like, I like the way he did it.
Yeah. I liked it, too, but I gotta say, I was a bit disappointed to see that was, you know, the... David Tennant appearance.
Yeah.
I was really hoping it'd be the other doctor that's in the other universe with Rose, the human doctor. I was really hoping, you know, somehow.
Yeah. We were all kind of let down about that rumor, but oh well. What can you do?
Yeah, and that's about. I mean, anything else you want about this episode or?
Green screwdriver.
Yeah, he gets the new screwdriver, the green one that has the little claw thingy.
At the time, I did not like it. Did not like the new green screwdriver. Now, you know, after seeing all the series and, you know, it's been a while since then, I'm used to it. It's fine now.
Yeah, I still like the blue one better, but...
Yeah, the blue one's better, but still, yeah. I'm used to green.
Yeah, it's not as bad.
It doesn't bother me anymore.
Yeah, it grew on us. But, okay, and then we got episode 2, you know, which is The Beast Below, which... This is Stephen Moffat right here.
Yeah, this is the creep.
You want to start out, you know, you want to take the lead for this episode?
Yeah, okay. You know, the doctor takes Amy to the future, where Britain is a spaceship. Like, the city has been uprooted and is a spaceship above. I forget why. The Earth was burning up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which kind of ties into one of the older episodes.
Yeah. People are acting kind of funny on the ship, though. Like, if they don't do something right, they kind of disappear. Like, if they cause problems, they disappear, and no one ever sees them again.
Yeah.
And it has something to do with these kind of robot-looking things called the Smilers.
Those things are so freaking creepy.
Those are creepy.
I mean, wow.
Because, you know, when you're doing good, you know, they're a good, happy face. When you don't do something good, they kind of frown on you. And when they're about to kill you, it's an evil face.
Yeah. That's definitely Stephen Moffat right there. But, and I want to add, you know, the voting booths, you know. I'm not too sure what I still I'm not too sure what I thought about that whole thing, you know.
I mean, with the idea with the voting booth is, you know, like, you can know the truth, but if you want to keep the truth in your memory, you're gonna have to die.
Yeah.
Or you can just, you know, like, forget the truth and live your happy little life.
Exactly. And but the doctor always wants to know the truth. He can't.
Yeah.
He can't just ignore anything. You know, if there's a question, he must find the answer. And we end up finding out the big whole secret about everything. How should we...
It's a star whale.
Yeah.
It's a whale in space.
It's a giant whale, yes.
That's the ship.
Yes, and they're torturing it, kind of, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, and...
Like there's this part of it where the brain is exposed and they're kind of zapping it with electricity.
Yeah, which is pretty cruel, I mean,
yeah, it is.
And the queen, I found it interesting how the queen, you know, kind of, the whole thing with the... She was the queen, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it was so, Queen Elizabeth X, or Liz X.
That was pretty weird. The whole, I mean, that it... It you know, she had been getting her brainwashed
for centuries.
Yeah, that was just kind of like, that was a bit of a twist.
You know, they slowed her body aging so she could live forever, but she did not know it.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting. That was a, like I said, that was a bit of a twist right there. Go ahead.
I was gonna say what I liked about this episode was the throwbacks to the previous seasons, because there was the name on one of the electricity booths or whatever, Magpie, something or whatever. But it was a direct correlation to the idiot box, or the idiot's lantern.
Yeah.
And Liz X also mentioned about Queen Elizabeth I.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty funny. Going back to the Star Whale, actually, let's talk about Amy. She ends up being the hero.
Yeah, it was about this episode when I really started to like Amy as a companion.
Same.
Because she reminded me a lot of David Tennant. Like, David Tennant's Doctor.
Oh, I got that same, you know, impression. And it's kind of funny because she ended up saving the day when normally the Doctor saved the day.
Yeah.
And she saved the day by turning off the torturing whatever thing, because she real, and it turns out the whale, you know, the whale wanted to help everybody.
Yeah, they didn't have to torture the whale.
Yeah, because the whale basically, you know, knew that the world was gonna, you know, the world was dying or and all that, and came and, you know, basically started to help everybody. And it was the last of its kind, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so that's another, you know, another, what's it, comparison with the Doctor. Mm-hmm. And he is the last of his kind. Which I'm kind of getting tired of them, you know, reminding us that. But I guess, you know, they're trying to get newer audiences. Like you said, younger audiences who may have not seen the other Doctor Who episodes, so.
Yeah, I understand why they're doing it, because, you know, people just now finding the show may not know the history of the Doctor. They've still got to explain it from time to time.
Yeah.
It's just like that with most long-running series.
Exactly. And this is the longest-running series.
Yes.
we were just talking about it, 50 years, or 51, no, 50, over 50 years this year.
Yeah.
50-something, I don't know. But, that basically covers that episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
Next, we got the Victory of the Daleks, which, you know, everybody got excited for this episode, I think, just because it's the Doctor's, you know.
Yeah, we actually get to see something that we recognize.
Exactly. And you know, Winston Churchill, that was the big thing, you know, in the preview from after the second episode, and, you know, we knew it was going to be in World War II, and, you know, so that was pretty, you know, we got excited about it. I know I did.
Well, because we knew that this was the episode that was going to explain in the season preview, or shows, you know, preview of the entire season, we saw a glimpse of a Dalek with a England flag on it.
Yes.
And we had no idea what was going on with that.
Yes. And so I guess we can just, you know, we can start with, you know, the Doctor basically gets a call from Winston Churchill, and Winston Churchill needs him. And the Doctor comes, and, you know, I thought it was funny when he was like, that was a month ago?
I forget.
So something like that. He was like, basically it was like a month or a couple months ago from the phone call, and, you know, I kind of liked the Doctor's line where he was like, you know, it's a new TARDIS. I'm working her in or whatever he said.
Yeah, we didn't mention that, the new TARDIS.
Oh yeah, I forgot. It's just so much. It of course with new Doctor, new TARDIS, new screwdriver. Well, yeah. I guess, what do you think of the inside of the new TARDIS?
I still don't like it very much.
I'm kind of with you.
I mean, it's starting to grow on me, but that doesn't mean I like it.
I mean, there's just some goofy stuff on there.
Like
an old-fashioned typewriter?
The console, I'm okay with the console a little bit. But it's the decor. Everything else in it. I mean, just, like, it's a... It reminds me of kind of ship, like a nautical ship. It looks funny. I don't like it.
Yeah. Well, we can't like everything. But yeah, I'm it's all right. I can deal with it the way it is, but I still, you know, I like the old one just because that's, you know, we were used to that. But Back to London and World War II. We find out Winston Churchill talks about, you know, they got a secret weapon, you know, and it turns out to be a Dalek.
Yeah.
What did you think about that? I mean, especially when the Dalek was, you know, saying he serves England and he's here to serve. And...
Yeah, I knew it was an act. There was no way that they could have gotten a Dalek on their side. I knew that, you know, this had to be something of a plan by the Daleks. Just didn't know what.
See, I thought that too, but then I looked back at, what was it? The end of season four? Well, not the end of the actual season four. And Dalek Khan,
mm-hmm.
He ended up kind of being good.
I wouldn't really necessarily call him good. I call him just insane.
I guess, yeah. But, I mean, he ended up helping out the Doctor and, you know, and helping out the good side. But I don't know.
Well, because he saw how time was supposed to be and he was going to keep it that way.
I guess, yeah. But I still had that, you know, the hope that it was going to be something to, maybe not that it was good, but maybe like I was hoping there was more to it than they were just tricking us. But, the Doctor just goes, he goes apeshit. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, he just goes crazy on the Dalek because he knows that it's a trick. Or, you know, he's convinced it's a trick. And everyone, I mean, oh, what did you think about Amy when he was like, don't you remember the Daleks?
Yeah.
She didn't. What did you think of that?
I was like, okay, that's going to be part of the overarching story the entire season. She doesn't remember who the Daleks are. That's going to become a big part at the end, as well as the crack that keeps showing up throughout the series.
Yeah, and which we forgot to mention that. There was a crack in Amy's wall in her bedroom when she was a little kid, and
that's showing up throughout history and time and space.
Exactly. But yeah, I knew, you know, with the crack and her not remembering, I was like, there's something fishy with Amy.
Not something that, you know, Donna, you know, she didn't remember anything either, but.
Well, she was just always at the wrong place, the wrong time, you know.
Yeah, I knew it wasn't.
The time, I guess. Always avoiding it.
Yeah, it was something different with Amy.
Yeah, I like I said, I was really liking her, and I still liked her at that point, but I, you know, something's fishy with her. But, and, you know, then we find out, well, you know, there was that, I can't remember his name, the old guy, the one who claimed he invented the Daleks.
Yeah.
Or not the Daleks, but the whatever he called them.
Called him Ironsides.
Ironsides, yes. But what'd you think of that when the Daleks finally said, you know, yeah, we are Daleks, and it turned out that they created the what was it, the scientist guy?
Yeah, they created. Crap, what's his name?
I can't think of it. But I thought that was a pretty big twist. I didn't see that coming.
Was it Bracewell?
I don't remember. Like, I don't even think I'd remember if I heard it.
Yeah, he's such a memorable character. Yeah, like, you know, he's actually an android.
Yeah, created by the Daleks for their whole, you know, cover of... That was the big twist. I was, like I said, I was totally shocked to see that.
Yeah, I wasn't shocked. But it was still, you know, I had no idea what was going to come out of it. Like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and it seems like when the doctor said, you're Daleks or whatever, that ended up triggering their what would you call that? I can't think of the name. The device where the Supreme Daleks or whatever, you know, came out of.
Oh.
Nothing? Oh.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, basically there's this big giant spaceship up in the sky, and they need, you know, the doctor basically declaring them Daleks ended up activating, like, a main part of it, and out come the Mighty Morphing Dalek Rangers.
Yes, which you made a nice video about that. Yeah, I didn't know what to think of the new Daleks. Well, okay, what confused me was that the power Daleks, whatever.
Yeah.
they killed the other Daleks because they were not pure Daleks. But weren't those the same Daleks that Davros made? And Davros is the creator of the Daleks. So if he used his own cells to make the new Daleks, wouldn't they be pure Daleks because they were made directly from Davros?
That's a good point. I don't know. That kind of confused me too, but I don't know. That's a very good point, and I think that was a kind of a controversial thing among hardcore Doctor Who fans. And the fact that they were different colors, you know.
Yeah, and they also had the voice. It was a much deeper voice, kind of reminded me of the Emperor.
Yeah. And I love the part where the Doctor basically says that cookie was the TARDIS self-destruct.
Yeah.
That was classic Doctor, I think.
That was, yeah.
And he was like, "Don't scan it. I'll press it before you have time to scan it."
And then I'll eat it.
Yeah. that was pretty funny. But and meanwhile, you know, while all that's going on, you know, the what's it called? The scientist guy.
Yeah, him.
Yeah. Him and Amy and Winston Churchill are, you know, planning an attack against the Daleks with I guess World War fighter planes or fighter jets and
in space
gravity bubbles. I don't know. That was pretty interesting. What did you think of that whole?
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't. It was just a really strange episode that didn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I'm the same way. And I still, at that point, I thought that was the best episode of the three, even though I had a lot of questions.
Yeah, it was, so far.
Yeah, just because of the potential, you know, with the new Daleks, and, cause, you know, you know, the Doctor was put with a choice, you know, you can either save the you know, cause the android guy, he had like a big explosive, you know, in him.
Yes, and it was called the Oblivion Continuum.
Yeah, and so basically the Doctor could have stopped the Daleks or stopped the you know, the scientist android guy from destroying everything. You know, I just want to say there's probably some hardcore Doctor Who fans listening, maybe at least a couple, that are like, "You stupid idiots, his name is such and such."
His name is Bracewell. It totally is.
It is Bracewell?
Yes.
Okay, Bracewell. There we go. But, yeah, he really was kind of a throwaway character when you think about the entire series.
Yeah.
But, Bracewell, there we go. And, of course, the Doctor has to save, you know, the human race. But it turns out Amy's the one who actually ends up saving the day yet again. She's talking to him about there's got to have been someone you fancied, and you know, and then end up he.
Yes, Amy saves the day with love.
Yeah. Wow, when you say it like that, it kind of sounds bad. But
well, she did.
Yeah, that's true. I gotta mention something. I was listening to the TARDIS blend, and over there, they're friends they're friends and of the podcast. So check them out at social-blend.com. They do some pretty good TARDIS, you know, they call them TARDIS blends. They're like 20-minute long episodes of, you know, after each of the ones premiered on BBC America. But over there, my friend Greg was talking about it, and as far as Torchwood has a branch in Scotland, and it kind of makes you. He was saying some stuff about it that made it, you know, that the Bracewell is probably the guy who's running that branch. So, check that episode out. I mean, if you're interested in, you know, some theories of like that, but I thought that was pretty interesting. You know, bringing it all with, you know, the whole Doctor Who universe, bringing it all back around. But yeah, just a little side note about that. But we end up seeing the crack again at the end.
Yeah.
Yet again. It's not much more I really can say about this, because like you said, it was a very confusing episode.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to mention?
Nothing I could think of.
Alrighty, we can get to the next episode then, which is the first two-parter of the series, and another one I'm sure you were excited about.
Yeah.
The Weeping Angels are back.
They were. I was very happy to see them again.
Well, why don't you talk about that a little more?
Yeah, and also River Song was back.
Yes, River Song.
So we can maybe finally get something. We would finally actually see some of the previous. That's kind of confusing.
Yeah, I know what you're trying to say.
We see more of how River and the Doctor became involved.
Yes, we see her past and his, which is his present.
His future,
yeah. Whatever.
It's very confusing.
Wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
Yes.
Oh, that's the best phrase in, like, ever. But yeah.
River. She found an angel and recorded it, and we find out that, you know, angels can be stuck within film as well.
Yeah, the image of an angel becomes an angel.
Yeah, and it got trapped in the retina, or the part of the eye that captures images inside of Amy. So, yeah. like the angel was slowly killing her inside?
Yeah, and I found it interesting how the last time we saw the angels, it was "don't blink," and this time it's "don't open your eyes."
Yeah, don't look.
For her, yeah. But that was interesting, and I guess they're at some other planet, of course, and some giant cave.
Yeah, with cave. A maze of the dead.
The maze of the dead. Yeah.
Just a maze of just statues.
Yeah.
They later find out that they're all actual angels.
Yeah, and they're with a bunch of soldiers, which are led by Father Octavian, which. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, you know? The church has gone military.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of funny. Yeah, I thought, but we learned that we started learning some things about River Song too.
Yeah, that she's not actually a good person.
Yeah, not entirely good.
Well, good is relevant.
That true. Good point.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway. This was a very, very confusing at a point, but very good episode. I really enjoyed these two episodes because Stephen Moffat's creepy, you know.
Yes.
Like. Probably one of his creepiest episodes ever. Probably a little more creepier than Blink even was. I don't know if I'm could be a little too old for saying that, but
yeah, I would say. I'd say Blink was a bit creepier.
Well, just the fact where you know, you see Amy, she can't open her eyes, and like that scene where the soldiers or they're guarding her. And they keep checking out that light, and they keep going back, you know?
Yeah, they keep checking out the crack, which is huge.
Well, we don't know it's a crack at the time. They just see the light.
I think we do. I think we do find out that it is the crack.
Well, yeah, but they don't know it. They just see light. They don't know what the actual soldiers don't know anything about
the crack. Yeah,
Yeah, they just see a light and they go, and then Amy's like, are they back? And, you know, or, you know.
They get erased from history.
Exactly. And that was pretty creepy there, you know. Are
they back? Who's back? The guy who just left. Nobody left.
It's just us. It's just been us two. And, well, that's because she's, you know, she's a space travel, you know, she remembers them because she's traveled in time.
Or at least that's how the doctor explained it.
Yeah.
I don't know if, still not quite sure if that's actually true or not.
I can kind of see that, though, I guess. I don't know. But, yeah. And just that whole part was just creepy. And then the doctor, you know, going back to the TARDIS blend again, my, you know, Greg over there, he said, you know, noticed how the doctor's, you know, he took his coat off when the angels grabbed him, you know, but when he comes back to Amy, he has his coat on, or a different coat on.
He really did not notice that?
He did.
Wow.
He seriously did at that time.
Wow, which, I totally did not. Yeah. It's not until now when I realize it.
I listened to it at the time, and I was like, that's pretty interesting. I don't know if that's just a, you know, if that's just a wardrobe malfunction or not, you know. But we find out later on that's pretty big. So, yeah. Another little side note, and also just one, you know, which points out the writing is just so good with this show.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where it's at. The effects, you know, they're not, like, the best, really and truly, I mean. But, I mean, when you look at creatures like the Daleks and they have, like, whisks for their little arms or whatever, I mean, but it's just, the writing is just amazing. But back to I forgot to mention the names of these episodes. The Time of Angels and Flesh and Stone.
I want to mention something. At the end of the time of angels, the doctor uses a gun. The doctor hates guns.
Yeah, that was a big thing too.
I've noticed, you know, this season, he doesn't have much of a problem with guns.
Yeah, when like you know, David Tennant's doctor and all that. Guns.
Yeah, David Tennant's doctor was absolutely against guns.
Anti-guns.
You know, Matt Smith's doctor, not so much. You know, he doesn't use them except for this one time. But he doesn't have a problem with them.
Yeah, I guess it boils down to the fact that he really wasn't shooting anybody. Maybe that's something. He wasn't using it to really hurt anybody. He was using it to, you know, save people. I don't know that it. But that was a big thing, you know. That was a pretty big thing people were upset about, you know, him using that gun. I'm glad you brought it up. But getting back to it, we find out all those statues are angels.
Yeah, we've already mentioned that.
Oh, we have?
Yes.
Okay. We're just winging it this episode, everybody. this is purely just, you know, talking between two friends. But I forgot where I left off.
Then they eventually go onto the ship that originally was carrying the angel.
Yeah.
And then we see how was it put? The trees.
The trees.
It was like a bio tree or something like that, or a robo tree.
Oh, yeah, it was like a tree.
It was some clever word.
Yeah, I can't now.
That is totally slipping me.
Same with me, but yeah, that was.
It was crazy. A very clever word. We'll just put it that.
Yes. And. Well, we got to mention the whole the Amy counting down.
Yeah, the entire episode Amy's counting down.
What did you think about that?
I thought that was very creepy. Because like she never, you know, like just brought out, you know, like 10 and just would not notice it.
It took the doctor a little bit of time before he noticed it too. Cause, yeah. You know, he was like, oh, we have so many, you know, and then she was like, she said whatever number she did. And he was like, no, not that, this, or, you know, God, I should have watched all these up. I should have just had a mini marathon.
We're also forgetting that, one of the angels is talking to the doctor.
Oh yeah. Angel Bob.
Angel Bob.
Oh, I love that. I love that part.
I didn't.
Really?
Yeah. This episode ruined the angels for me. It really did.
Really?
Like these two episodes. You know, yeah, Angel Bob talking to the doctor. And then towards the end of Flesh and Stone, we see the angels move. And one of the things I really liked about the angels in Blink was that whenever you saw the angels, like, even, you know, it was a pit, well, like, us seeing the angels would make them stop. Like, that, it was kind of, that was how I felt about them.
Yeah.
Like, we would never actually see them move. But then we did. I really didn't. It made me cry. Not really. Still.
I kind of heard little bits about that, but I kind of thought of it as, you know, a little bit, people were nitpicking a bit. I thought, but...
I mean, that's what made the angels great, though, because the angels kind of broke the fourth wall a little bit. Like, it seemed, but then we found out it's not true.
Yeah. I don't know. I just thought... the only reason why I liked the whole Angel Bob was I thought that was kind of a bit creepy. And the doctor kind of made it fun with... funny, you know? Talking about, we got, what, fancy chairs or something?
Yeah.
And Angel Bob was like, we have no use for fancy chairs, or, you know, and he did just that, it was just in that monotone type voice the whole time. It was just, I don't know, I found that kind of creepy. But I can see your point, your side of it. I can definitely see your side of it. I like the angels, but they weren't my favorite, so I don't think it made a huge impact on me. Personally, I know.
Yeah, as somebody who really liked the angels, it really did for me.
Okay. do you want to just, you know, move on then?
Yeah, move on.
Okay. No need to beat a dead horse. You know, the doctor saves the day. You know, if you've seen it, you know how. So if you haven't, why are you listening to this?
Yeah.
Then the next episode, which. Vampires of Venice. This, to me, was kind of a bad episode.
Well, this was an episode to bring another companion.
Yes, that's true.
And
we find out, you know, Amy, you know, the whole Amy's cast, you know, she basically was getting married, and we see her fiancé, and the doctor decides, you two need to come with me, and... all this and that, and I just didn't like this episode too much. Well, I mean, what did you think about it?
I didn't think it was bad. I really liked see how Rory was reacting to everything, and Amy was just kind of like nonchalant about it. And
oh yeah, she was a pro by this time. But
like, it really felt to me like Amy really didn't want Rory there.
Okay.
Kind of the way that Rose didn't want Mickey around.
Yeah, I definitely saw that comparison. But I don't know, the whole vampires and then they're actually fish aliens.
Yeah, they're actually giant fish who can fly.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I was kind of disappointed when they turned out to be fish people. Because I was like, oh shit, vampires? We're going to get vampires in Doctor Who? That's going to be crazy. No.
Well, in a way, they were vampire-like. I mean, because, yeah. you know that vampire-like creatures have been around in Doctor Who. You know, like you could even call the Plasmavore in Smith and Jones vampire-like.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I don't have much to say about this episode. Just, you know, it was funny, the some of the stuff with Rory. Yeah, it was funny, but... I didn't like this too much. You got anything else to say about it?
well, I liked how the doctor identified himself with a library card with the picture of the first doctor on it.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. William Hartnell?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was pretty cool.
And this was the first time that somebody actually mentioned the cracks and the silence.
Yeah. So I do gotta say, I did like the beginning of the episode, though, with the doctor popping out of the cake.
Yeah.
And, you know, talking about how Amy kissed him and all this. That was funny. That had me psyched for the episode, and then I got very let down. But I guess we can move on to another favorite or anticipated favorite of yours, Amy's Choice. Because you talked about, you know, you love dream episodes.
Yeah, sci-fi shows. You know, my favorite episodes are usually dream episodes and sci-fi and time travel episodes, which is why I really like Doctor Who, because it's all time travel. But this was a dream episode. So I was really looking forward to this one.
Look, you want to start it out?
Yeah. It starts out kind of weird, because it starts out with, you know, supposedly 5 years in the future. Amy and Roy are married and having a kid. The doctor pops in, say hello, and notices that something's not quite right about the town. Then they wake up back on the TARDIS and find out that they all had the same exact dream.
Yeah, that got me intrigued, definitely.
Yeah, I was definitely like, this is going to be good. Then we meet the Dream Lord, or at least that's kind of what he called himself.
Yeah, I kind of found that interesting, considering, you know, Doctor Time Lord, Dream Lord, you know, I was like, that had me thinking, you know, when I heard...
Yeah, you figured out a lot of stuff before I did. Yeah. Or at least you claim to. I don't know if you actually did or not.
I definitely did not know the twist. I mean, I thought that there was something similar with the whole Lord, like maybe the Dream Lords were a different race, you know, like the Time Lord. That's what I was thinking.
Okay.
So I didn't have the whole thing figured out.
Well, you had the big part figured out.
Yeah.
Well, before I did. And the Dream Lord says, you know, they're... You know, two dilemmas in each, you know, in the waking world and in the dream world. And he didn't say which one was the waking world and which one was the dream world. You know, either the 5 years in the future with the killer grandparents or the one on the TARDIS with the cold sun.
Yeah, and if you die in the waking world, you'll wake up and...
Or no, if you die in the dream
world, yeah, dream world, you wake up, and I loved when Roy was like, "What happens if you die in the waking world?" And he's like, "You die, idiot."
You die, stupid.
But okay, I don't know about you, but I knew straight from that both were gonna be the dream. Were both gonna be dreams. It just seemed too easy, you know.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Really?
Yeah, it wasn't until the end. When it, you know, when it actually happened.
I don't know. I had a suspicion about that, and I read, you know, and a lot of people ended up having the same suspicion, so I don't know. I just think differently, I guess. I don't know. But, yeah. But I definitely did not know it was the twist. I did not guess that coming.
Well, we can just go ahead and say it.
Oh, yeah.
The Dream Lord was actually a darker side of the Doctor.
Yes.
Which, according to Wikipedia, is not the first time.
Really?
Yeah, in the Trial of the Time Lord, which, if I'm not mistaken, is the last episode before the hiatus. Like, the last serial before the hiatus.
Yeah, I think they... okay, yeah, go ahead.
Like, that one was one where the Time Lords trapped themselves within the time bubble. Anyway, yeah, so I didn't know what to think about that. I still don't.
Yeah, this episode was, I didn't hate it, but I didn't really like it too much. It was just, It was different.
It was another episode.
Yeah. It wasn't the best, but it by far was not the worst. So, I mean, I guess were you let down at all?
A little bit. Like, it wasn't as good as I was hoping it to be.
Yeah. I think it's because you had such high expectations for it.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, but anything else about that? I don't have anything.
No.
Really. We can go, I guess we, you know, the second, you know, yet another two-parter. The Hungry Earth.
Which I will say, you know, actually watching Doctor Who when it's on, two-parters suck.
Yeah, having to wait a whole another week.
Yes.
Oh, especially when they split the finale into two parts. Oh, that sucks. But, yeah.
I mean, imagine how it was for season three when I was actually split up into three parts.
Oh, yeah, true. But, they're going, or it starts out with, where were they going? They were going somewhere.
Yeah, they were going to some beach planet.
Yeah, some beach, and it turns out, no, they're at Earth. And, the year is 2015, 5 years in the future. And what did you think about when they saw themselves from far away and they waved?
I thought that was going to be bigger than it actually was.
Yeah, that was just like, oh, there's us. Hey.
Hey, there's us way distance. Wave to them. Hi. That was it.
Yeah, I'm thinking, why did you come to yourself? Why did you come just to wave at yourself? Really?
Yeah.
Look in the mirror. I mean, they wave and then they just left. That was, I don't know. But, and, you know, there's a bit, basically, we find out there's, you know, a civilization underneath the Earth.
Well, I mean, that's new to us since we didn't really watch the older episodes.
Yeah, this is definitely, it was covered in the past, you know, in the older ones, which.
Yeah.
A lot of the old, you know, older Doctor Who fans definitely knew about this, but us, I didn't know about it till I listened to, you know, the TARDIS blend where they were talking about, oh yeah, this is in reference to such and such episode, you know, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool.
Cave of Androzani.
Yeah, I was like, that's kind of cool. They're, you know, bringing it back to the older stuff, you know, keeping it all in the same kind of timeline instead of just, you know, running with it and making it his own. But, what did you think of this episode? This was the one I honestly don't know how I felt about this episode, or these two episodes.
Yeah, they were good, but they were interesting. I don't know how I feel about them either.
I mean, it just seemed like not much really happened, except for little parts here and there.
Yeah, it took two episodes for them to come to the conclusion to stop drilling.
Yeah, I feel like this was a terrible two-parter. Not that it was terrible, it's just I think they could have squeezed this into just one episode.
Yeah, the kind of end result of what happened was, you know, hey, stop drilling.
Yes.
That's it.
I do like how the it was kind of narrated, you know.
Well, I know half of it was.
That half, you know, by the I can't think of his name.
The leader of the Solarians.
Yeah, the leader guy. I thought that was interesting because he made it seem, you know, I mean, and especially when he was like, that's how, you know, Earth and this is how Earth and, or the, you know, humans and the Solarians and, you know, really made you think that, you know, oh my God, humans are going to, or aliens are going to start living on Earth. That's what I got the impression of when I.
Yeah, like that's kind of where they were gonna lead to, but it didn't happen.
Yeah, which I was disappointed in that because I was like, you know, I was really excited.
Okay, they're not aliens.
Well, yeah, that's okay. Good point. Good point. they were here before us, or before humans.
Yeah, we're Homo sapiens, they're Homo reptilian.
Yes, and, well, according to them, we're monkeys. Right? Isn't that what they,
they called it apes.
Apes, yeah. But, like I said, I mean, this could have been easily just one part, you know, one episode.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, to drag it out into two, this was definitely a filler episode, or two-parter, I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked it. I liked how the, I forgot, I lost my train of thought. Oh, well. it's like you said, it took them that long to figure out, you know, stone drill. But I did like the part where they had the one the humans, you know, they had their own prisoner. And
yeah, it was kind of exchange of prisoners, but then it didn't happen because somebody killed the prisoner.
I liked the part where she was like, you know, one of you is going to kill me, and it's going to start a war, and I know exactly which one of you is going to.
Okay, I really like that. Which one did you think would do it? Because they all had motive.
Yeah. I thought it was going to either be Rory or the grandfather.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be the grandfather.
I didn't think it was going to be the mother, but... I guess we're wrong, but I don't know. I thought it was definitely gonna be one of the guys, but I just love that part where she was, you know, that little speech she said, because that was just like that. I don't know. That was kind of cool, I thought. But you know, and it like we said, they have to go. You know, they don't end up living on the Earth yet with the humans.
Or up on the surface, yeah.
Yeah, on the surface. Because the leader ends up... how am I going to say it? The gas, right?
They trigger some kind of a gas to put everybody back to sleep.
It'll kill them if they don't go back to their chambers, right?
Yeah, like that's what I mean. To put them back to sleep, to make them go back to bed.
Yeah,
go to your room.
Because that one chick, that one alien chick, she was just crazy.
She was a warrior.
Yeah.
She wanted a war.
I thought it was interesting that the warrior, the one who wanted war, you know, was a female, and then the one who killed the alien prisoner was also a female. You know, I liked how they made, you know, they change it up, you know, because normally you would think it's, oh, the guys are always wanting war, and, you know, it's all about guys. Guys want to kill, and not this time.
Yeah, we're spending way too much time on this filler episode.
Yeah, true.
Okay, let's just...
I was just trying to find something about it, but...
At the ending real quick.
Oh.
Rory.
Oh, yeah.
Rory.
Bye-bye, Rory.
Yeah, Rory dies.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't die.
Yes, he does.
He gets
in all intents and purposes, he died.
He gets erased from existence to where he was never even born.
Okay. So.
You were getting me about specifics earlier, so I'm just exchanging the favor.
Okay. Yeah.
But, yeah, this was a pretty... The ending was kind of, you know...
Yeah, I wasn't expecting it. I was not expecting the cracked eat Rory, but it totally did.
Yeah, and the whole when the doctor was talking to Amy about, you have to remember, if you remember, he, you know, all this and that, and then she ends up forgetting.
Yeah, she ends up forgetting.
That was kind of like, really?
Yeah, it's kind of sad. Like,
went through all that effort and
poor
still,
Rory.
Yeah.
Because it was not easy, you know, with Rory, because Amy totally had a thing for the doctor. Doctor did not have a thing for Amy.
Well, yet again,
really trying to push Amy towards Rory.
It's another 10 dog thing.
Yeah, Rory kind of was the 10 dog.
You mentioned the comparison about Mickey and that. I've just been thinking about that, the 10 dog. But Yeah, that was a bit weird that all that happened on the filler episode, you know? The filler two-parter. Something
which
that
it kind of made that those episodes important.
Well, just made the end important, really.
Yeah. Again, it could have been a one-parter.
Yeah, but I think they were just trying to build up to the end. Really.
Yeah, let's move on. I don't want to talk anymore.
Yeah. The next episode, one of my favorites.
It was the best of the season.
The next two are kind of tied for me.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, but Vincent and the Doctor, where, since it's your favorite, you want to
tell me my favorite? Yeah, this episode, Doctor and Amy go to a Vincent Van Gogh, to use the Klingon pronunciation of it.
Yeah.
Vincent Van Gogh.
For us Americans, yeah.
It's Vincent Van Gogh.
Yeah.
They go to, one of his, a museum, and they see a monster in one of his paintings. So they go back in time to fight the monster. And they meet Vincent Van Gogh and find out. I will say this. Tony Curran was an excellent, excellent Vincent Van Gogh.
Yeah.
He looked the part. Because, the self-portrait of Vincent Van Gogh that he actually did. I'm looking at a picture right now of the picture of his portrait, and then Tony Curran, it really could have been him.
Yeah, and he just, besides looking, he was a good actor.
Yeah, he was very good.
He pretty much owned the episode, I thought.
Yeah. And it deals into, Vincent Van Gogh was depressed, he was going to kill himself in a couple months.
Yeah, and no one could see the monster but him, right? Yeah.
Yeah, which I'm still kind of confused on how.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Vincent can see the invisible monster. Nobody else can.
And it kind of ended kind of sad too.
Yeah, this episode did bring a tear to my eye.
Well, I mean, like the first part was the monster turned out just to basically be scared, right?
Yeah, it was just it was blind.
Yeah, it was blind. It couldn't see. It was scared and ended up dying. That was kind of depressing a bit. But, and then the other kind of emotional moment was when the doctor finally brought Vincent Van Gogh to the museum, and he had the director, or what was his name? What's the name? The specialist, the museum expert, whatever, talk. And I thought it was funny when he was like, in 100 words or less, say, since we saw the museum expert guy was like, just kept talking. He, just was a talker.
Yeah, but what really kind of made that moment really kind of shine was how Vincent was reacting to it.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, because he went through his life thinking he's not a good artist. It was a waste of life. And to find out that later on his work will be appreciated along with he's like one of the top artists of all time. And
yeah.
Oh, beautiful scene.
Definitely. If you think about it, that allures to the fact that that could have been the reason why he killed himself, because he couldn't deal with all that pressure. I don't know if you ever thought about that, but
that didn't occur to me. But yeah, I can kind of
like it was too overwhelming for him, having to live up to. I mean, if you were told you were going to be like the most, one of the best, artists ever. That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, yeah, that's just something I picked up on. But, yeah, this was definitely a good episode. And it was a really colorful episode, too.
It was. Like, the scene where, like, Amy and the doctor and Vincent are laying, looking up the sky. And Vincent is kind of explaining kind of what he sees. Like, not just black.
That was awesome.
Just, you know, dark blues going into a darker blue to a blackish. Like, that was good. Like, whoever did that scene, like, whoever did the special effects for that scene.
Yeah, they deserve a raise.
they deserve something.
Yeah, this was a really good episode. I really don't have too many complaints for the. I can't even think of a bad thing about this episode.
I can think of one.
Yeah.
The monster, it wasn't really. Like, I wish it was something other than that.
Yeah.
Because that was the down part of the episode. I mean, it was Vince and the doctor. Both of them, their interaction, that's what made that episode great.
That's true. And you can't forget Amy, though. She
Well, yeah, Amy.
A big part, too.
And, you know, if they had a kid, it would have the ultimate ginger.
Yeah.
That was a good line. I like that. The ultimate ginger. Awesome.
Yeah. But, yeah, I guess we can move on to the next one, unless you have anything else.
No.
This was tied with Vincent and the Doctor for me. The Lodger. I really liked this episode. When the doctor basically is, you know, stuck on Earth with no TARDIS, and Amy is stuck on the TARDIS, and the doctor has to, you know, he's got to figure things out, and he's got to, you know, basically live the life of a human. I thought that was very amusing with, you know, the whole him playing soccer. And I mean, what did you think about the doctor as a human?
Well, you know, I thought it was very weird. Although one question I had about it was, you know, like, you know, Amy's on the TARDIS, doctor's on Earth. How does Amy know how to fly the TARDIS?
Is she flying it?
Yeah, she was.
I don't know.
That was the only, like, when I first saw that, that question popped in my head.
Huh. I thought, I had the impression the TARDIS was just going haywire itself.
Well, it was, but she was kind of directing it, and
I don't know. Maybe she was trying to do something. She was just messing around. She made it seem like she didn't know what she was doing, though.
Well, it kind of looked like she did to me.
Yeah. Okay. but I really liked the Craig. Craig the flat owner.
Yeah, the landlord.
Yeah. That whole, you know, him and him, I like that character. I thought that actor was just amazing. Just, I mean, and his interactions with the doctor was just, I don't know, I really enjoyed that. Especially when...
And the doctor kept showing him up on everything that Craig does for a living.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty funny. I really enjoyed all that part. But you know, and then we find out But throughout the whole episode, there's something fishy going on upstairs, because you see, you know, you hear a voice asking for help, you know, either the intercom or whatever, and there's people going upstairs, and what did you think about that?
I had no idea what was going on. I couldn't begin to guess.
Yeah, and then he ends up going, and the doctor ends up going up. They end up going up there, and. What did you think of that? The fact that it looked kind of like a TARDIS.
Well, yeah, like a kind of Time Lord technology upstairs.
Yeah. And the whole upstairs was, well, wasn't upstairs.
Yeah, it was not an upstairs.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty. I really liked this episode. It was just different, you know. It was more of a laid back. It wasn't too. There was a little bit of creepy on it, but it wasn't that creepy.
Not really. It was just kind of a feel good episode a little bit.
Yeah, that's why I got out of it. I mean, and it made me think. You know, the doctor, pretty good as a human. At least that doctor was, and it really had me thinking. How's the other doc? The real human doctor. How's he doing right now?
Yeah. I really hope that we see something about him.
Oh, I do too. I definitely do hope so. But Yeah, just the whole concept of the Doctor living as a human, I really enjoyed that. We ended up seeing that before in season 3 when the Doctor wiped his mind, or you know, put his mind in the pocket watch, and
With the
but he wasn't aware of that.
Human nature and family of blood.
Yeah, he wasn't aware of anything. It was interesting to see the Doctor aware of, you know, he was the Doctor and he was older than human. But I digress. Moving on to another two-parter.
The season's finale.
Two-parter.
Yeah.
The Pandorica opens in the Big Bang, which the whole time the Doctor says Pandorica is a fairy tale. But throughout, like, you know, he kept saying that.
Yeah, like, yeah, it was not real, and...
And the whole thing with the Pandorica was it was supposed to open, you know, it was supposed to, it held the most dangerous, you know, creature or whatever in the universe.
Yeah.
And it was opening, and, well, how do we start with this?
There's
so many things happening in this episode, or in these two episodes.
Yeah. I was going to say, it starts off with, you know, you see Vincent Van Gogh again.
Oh, yes.
Because he painted a premonition. And then it, you know, throughout time, it found a way to Winston Churchill, who tried to call the Doctor but got a hold of River Song, who went to go look at the painting, which was being held by Liz Tenn. Which, now, the question I've heard about was River Song in the same time period as Liz Tenn, or did she time travel? But if she time traveled, why did she later need a time travel device to get back in time?
I hadn't thought about that. Huh. That's an interesting. Huh. But I love that part. You know, where they were just showing all the characters throughout the season.
Yeah.
Basically, because that's never happened really. Well, in the newer seasons, anyways, you know, you have a good episode, you see a character, like, you know, you see Blink, you really, that was a great episode, but you didn't see that girl or the dude again.
You'd never see anybody else again.
Yeah, unless it's like Captain Jack or Mickey or, you know, that's about it, but unless it's a companion, basically, or a semi-companion, but yeah, I really thought that was a good way to start it, basically. And it turns, you know, they end up going to, River Song, her and the Doctor and Amy, they, you know, reunite again. And the biggest thing of this episode things.
We should mention that this River Song was actually a previous, this is not the same River Song as the one from Flesh and Stone and Time of Angels. Because at the end of Flesh and Stone, River said that when they meet again, it'll be when the Pandorica opens.
Yes.
So this is a past version. I don't know how to explain River's timeline. Oh my god, it's so hard.
Yeah. it definitely is tricky. This just, side note, you know, stepping away from the episode, it just makes me think how the writers deal with this. I mean, do they, I'm picturing like a big conference room with like all kinds of like white, you know, marker boards and chalkboards and all kinds of just, you know, timelines and just crazy stuff. Because there's so much in Doctor Who, and they just seem to... It's just crazy the way they seem to make it just all fit together, even though it's all out of order.
Yeah.
But, okay, but back to, you know, there, it's the present day, which I thought that was pretty funny. It was the day that episode actually, or it was the day that last episode aired.
Yeah.
The day the Big Bang episode ended, or aired, you know? Yeah, at least in the UK. Anyways.
Yeah, I did not notice that.
But and you know they're at what is it, Stonehenge?
Yes.
Yeah, and
well, okay, they're at Stonehenge in 102 AD.
Yeah. But
where Rivers posed as Cleopatra.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. But the main thing I want to talk about, I mean, we see Rory again.
Yeah. And
that
I liked,
confused the hell out of me.
Yeah, I was confused about it too, but I liked how the doctor was just kind of talking to Rory, but not really noticing it's Rory.
Oh, yeah, that was kind of funny.
Just, you know, just start talking like, shut up, Rory. It just even goes on for another couple seconds. And he goes back, Rory.
Yeah, and the way the doctor explained that, I thought that was kind of funny, because the fact that the doctor didn't know what was going on, and he was just it seemed like he was making that whole explanation up just so there'd be some kind of explanation.
He totally was.
Yeah, I like that. But, and then, well, how do we, so much happens in this episode,
Okay, the Pandora is opening.
Yeah, do we want to just jump to that? I mean,
yeah, just go ahead.
Well, the Pandora, while it's opening, there's all the every single villain the Doctor has had to deal with.
And I'm gonna try to name them.
Go ahead.
There's the Daleks, the Cybermen, the Tarans, the Triplets, Triplettils. Okay, the Savine, Klingons. That looks like Klingons to me, but it's not. The Nesting, the Dravins. Oh my god, these names! Who comes up with these? The Psycorks, the Zygons, the Atraxi, and the Dragoinans. That's. Oh my god, I cannot pronounce half of these words.
Don't feel bad. They're all made-up words, so.
They are.
But I thought that was a pretty cool moment, because you're like, whoa, this has never happened. The Doctor has never... I mean, because I thought it was pretty... I thought it was crazy, like, back in, you know, season three, when the Daleks and the Cybermen were, you know, a threat against the Doctor.
Season two.
I thought of season two. Oh, yeah, season two, end of season two. Okay. I just remembered there was that chick who looked like Martha in that episode.
There her wasn't cousin. Martha. It was her cousin.
Yeah, her cousin.
Anyway.
But, yeah, I thought that was pretty crazy, but, you know, and then we see this episode.
Everybody.
That was just like, whoa. And I love that when the Doctor had his speech, you know, where he was like, basically, I've beaten all of y'all, you know, so y'all should just run because I'll do it again, you know. I ain't afraid of y'all, basically.
Yeah.
But I love...
When in actuality, he totally probably was, because it was everybody.
Yeah, definitely. But I thought it was interesting how they ended all... it looked like they were all leaving, you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, really? I was like, really? That's it? But nope, that wasn't it. Well, I guess, yeah, we can just jump into what the Pandora told, right?
Yeah.
The Pandora was meant to hold the Doctor.
Yeah, which...
Because I thought that was interesting how all the evil, even the Daleks, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, the...
All of them thought they were, you know, because in the previous seasons, the Daleks were going to destroy everything, existence, reality, you know, altogether. And I'm like, really? They're trying to say save it now? When previously they were... gonna destroy reality.
Yeah, I was gonna mention when you actually see all the aliens, you see a bunch of them that weren't named, because ones I said they were all the ones that were just named, but some of the ones you also saw were the Jadoon, the Psycorks, the Solarans, the Roboforms, and the Wheat Weevils from Torchwood.
Yes, and we also saw Cybermen.
Yeah, but those ones that weren't named.
Yeah.
But, you know, beforehand, but these are the ones you saw.
Yeah, true. I thought that was pretty. I don't know. That was kind of weird. The fact that all the bad guys thought they were saving the day.
Yeah, I mean the Jadoon. Okay, I can see them doing that.
But
yeah,
like I said, Daleks. I don't see that.
Daleks, Cybermen, Centaurans. No.
since the Daleks were trying to destroy reality. That's my big thing was.
Yeah.
That's why I had trouble wrapping
my head
around.
Even with the, you know, the reality bomb destroying reality entirely.
And now they want to save it. They're in
an alliance now? Yeah.
Anyways, the Daleks were the main ones I couldn't see teaming up with anybody, though. The others I could see because the others would want to, at least for them to survive. But since the Daleks, they're supposed to not have fear, you know, or any emotions at all.
Cybermen, too.
Well, yeah, true. But I don't know. I guess the Doctor was trapped in the Pandorica at the end of that episode, which, you know, has, he said there's like, how many millions of different locks and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, there was no way the Doctor could get out of that.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, once that episode ended, I had no idea what was going to happen. Because they didn't show a preview or anything.
Everyone hated that.
Like, I hated it, but then I'm like, but then if they show the preview, we'd know it.
Yeah, it definitely was suspenseful, and I definitely, but then we got the Big Bang. Unless you anything else I missed about the Pandorica open.
Well, that the Roman soldiers were Antons, or no, I Antons, Autons. Including Rory.
Yes, and
he shot.
Oh,
Amy.
And we forgot. Yeah, he shot Amy. How did I forget that?
And River was in a exploding TARDIS.
Yeah, which that was definitely interesting.
See, Amy dying, Doctor being locked in the Pandorica, River being an exploding TARDIS, and one of the worst. Yeah, that I fell out of my chair because I was on the edge of it and then fell over.
Oh yeah, so much happened. It was just crazy, but Then we got the next episode, and, you know, it starts with Rory and Amy, right?
Yeah.
Rory's all, or fake Rory. Not really Rory, but he thinks he's Rory, so.
Well, at this point in time, he is now Rory.
Yeah, true. And he's all sad about, you know, Amy dying, or him killing Amy, and all of a sudden the Doctor appears.
Wearing a fez of all things.
I love the fez. I don't know about you, but
no, I'm going to disagree with that. The fezes are not cool.
well, I don't think they're cool. I just love the fact that the Doctor had a fez. I don't know, but I liked it better than the bow tie, anyways. But
hey, bow ties are cool. Since now I have to wear one for my new job.
Really? That's interesting. but yeah, and he pops up and Rory's like, you're free, or the Doctor's like, you gotta get me out of the Pandorica, and, you know, but you're out of it. No, that's not, you know, time travel, all this and that. Obviously it was a doctor from the future, and he gives him his sonic screwdriver and tells Tim to put it in Amy's top pocket. Which, at that time, I'm like, why Amy's top pocket? Why?
Yeah.
Well, oh, go ahead.
We totally missed the actual beginning, which was of young Amelia.
Okay.
It was young Amelia, you know, at home with her aunt. She then somebody slides a envelope telling Amy to go to see the Pandorica.
Okay, yeah, I forgot about that.
And then
I'm
Amy hides out overnight, the Pandora opens, and there's adult Amy.
Yeah, that I forgot about that. I'm trying to skip ahead, but I guess. That was pretty interesting, especially with the whole, like, so there was some weird stuff with that opening, like her drink being taken.
Yeah.
Just, you know, stuff just appearing, that was definitely, like, what the hell? That was a great way to start because you were just... It ended. The last episode ended where you were confused, and then it started where you were still confused.
You were expecting an answer a little bit, but nope, you get none.
Yeah, but thank you for. See, I knew I was gonna miss something. That's why I was asking. back to the top pocket. There we go. That's where I left off. You know, the Rory, you know, Sonic Screwdriver opened the Pandorica, which, is there anything Sonic can't do besides wood? I mean.
Well, I was really confused on how the Sonic Screwdriver opened it up.
Yeah.
Because there were supposed to be deadlocks in it.
Yeah.
But then, you know, like nope, just wave the magic wand.
Yeah, it's set. All you gotta do is just press the button. I said it for you, but I don't know. I thought, you know, and then the doctor opens up, and I thought that was a little convenient where he was like, no, she's not dead,
She's almost dead.
She's almost dead, yeah. So,
but,
you know.
But put her in this thing that will keep her alive, and then heal her.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting how Rory was like, you know, I'm not gonna go with you, I'm gonna keep her safe, you know? I was like, really? She's in one of the most, well, it's what's supposed to be the hardest thing to get, you know, to open, you know, but obviously not too hard when the Sonic Screwdriver. But anyways, yeah, and later on when at the museum where they talk about, you know, the Roman soldier garden, the magic box, you know, I thought that was pretty cool. What did you think about that?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I do like going to museums. You know, there's stuff, you know, there's kind of myths about a lot of the stuff, and this one, I really liked it.
Definitely. The doctor goes back in, or goes present day, right? Yeah. Well, I'm trying not to miss anything.
Well, when the Pandorica opened, really, and Amy, a light shone on one of the stone Alex.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And revived it a little bit, not completely, but enough to move around.
Yeah, which.
And that was all it did.
Which we end up finding.
It couldn't shoot.
That, yeah, we end up finding that the light from the Pandorica, which is not a light, even though the doctor said it was a light. It's very confusing the way the Pandorica can, I guess, heal things.
Yeah.
It's
a lot of techno jargon that Doctor spills out about that point. Just leave it at that.
Yeah. Okay. I don't want to try to explain it unless you can explain it. But,
nope. Cannot.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Basically, it holds like DNA and it can, you know, heal stuff. But something like that. But anyways, we see the basically, you know, the doctor and Dr. Amy, little Amy, or Amelia, and Rory are like all together finally, and we see the whole, and we end up seeing what the doctor, you know, the whole, oh, I'm gonna have to go back in time, you know, I would, because Rory was like, you were holding them up when you came, you know, told me to do all this, and which that was kind of funny, I guess. And then we learned about the top pocket.
Yeah.
Then
we see the future doctor die.
Yeah. The another future doctor comes, you know, just appears, and he's like dead, and he says something to the doctor.
Don't really know what.
Yeah, we don't know what, and he's just like, okay, let's go, you know. And I guess Amy and Rory are all like hoping there's still a chance that the doctor can like save himself.
Yeah.
They seem really worried, and the doctor was like, okay, let's go. And no need to pay attention to that.
Move along. Nothing's here. Move along.
Exactly. And then they end up going to the roof, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they end up hearing
They find out that the sun is not really the sun.
Yeah, the sun's not the sun, and fake Rory hears something, right? He hears River Song, basically.
Yeah, he hears the TARDIS.
Yeah, the TARDIS, and the doctor uses his screwdriver with the satellite dish.
Something like that.
And everyone's able to hear it, which I thought that was kind of, I don't see how that worked, but anyways, the TARDIS was in, like, what was it? What did he say? It was in, like...
It was, like, a repeat mode.
Repeat, yeah, repeat mode, which that was kind of interesting.
Because it kept replaying River dying.
Yeah, and then the doctor, you know, comes to the rescue again, you know. And, okay, when River was on the roof and they did the whole thing with the fez, that just seemed really, really weird, you know?
Well, you know, the entire season, the doctor's saying, you know, but Butch has a cool. And, you know, he's wearing the fez, and, you know, fezes are cool. Like, no, give me the fez, and they shoot the fez.
Yeah, it's like, I thought that was funny. It, throw it, shoot it, and it just seemed really out of place.
No, I didn't think it was.
But then all of a sudden, you know, the Dalek's there, run, you know. I don't know. It seemed like the Dalek came right at, you know.
Yeah, it can't.
Coming
it can't.
Right at the end of that made it seem out of place to me.
Well, it's a TV show.
Yeah, but... And then again, I did like the fez. I thought it was funny on the doctor, but, the big thing, I guess we can, unless I'm missing something crucial, but the doctor's big plan was, you know, to basically throw the Pandora into the TARDIS.
Yeah, because it had saved a state of when the universe was right.
And since the TARDIS was the one that blew up, that, you know, caused the cracks in the universe, then it would shine all throughout the universe, the light of the...
Yeah, and then it would fix the universe. Which, it may, you know, us speaking it does not make sense, but them explaining it totally did make sense.
Yeah. And the doctor, this was a suicide mission for the doctor, supposedly. And, you know, I thought it was interesting how the doctor was thought he was, you know, saved when that all happened, but things were going back in time for him.
He was kind of living his life backwards.
Yeah, and then everything ended up being fixed.
And we find out that it was the doctor going back in time that talked to Amy in Flesh and Stone.
Yeah, which we mentioned earlier how, you know, we mentioned that part earlier with the coat. He had the coat on.
Yeah.
I'm surprised a lot of people noticed that. I didn't notice it till I heard people say it, but
I said,
I thought it was a wardrobe malfunction.
Yeah, I didn't really notice he was wearing, I didn't notice anything, but I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, it's just one of the show, it can hurt your head if you, you know.
Try to explain it.
If you think about stuff too much.
Yeah.
But, And the doctor ends up, well, it shows it goes to the wedding, right?
The doctor talks to little Amelia while she's asleep, telling her his story in a really quick fashion about, you know, the TARDIS is old, but yet it's new at the same time. He borrowed it, and it's the bluest blue ever.
Yeah, which I guess, you know, bedtime story. Interesting bedtime story, but...
Yeah. Then it's the wedding.
Yeah, then it's the wedding. Finally, they're married. Rory and Amy.
Yeah, which, and nobody remembers the doctor.
Nobody remembers it. Amy wakes up and her parents are there.
Yeah, but she doesn't remember the doctor. But yet, she knows her parents weren't there.
Yeah, it feels weird for her to see her parents.
Which is the first time we're seeing her parents, too.
Yeah. And the wedding... See, it's basically after the doctor, you know, did the whole Pandora into the TARDIS, it seemed kind of like, I don't know, it went downhill from there. It didn't seem... It seemed like all that stuff happened too soon.
Yeah, well, it was coming to the end of the episode. You know, they only had a couple minutes left.
Yeah, but, you know, the wedding, and then Amy does her weird speech thingy.
With, you know, like, hey, yeah, with a bride, you know, you gotta have something old, something new, something borrowed, and something blue. Which was the TARDIS. Yeah. All forms.
Yeah.
It makes sense. You know, because... Like, they never really thought about it, but the TARDIS is old, new, borrowed, and blue.
That's true, yeah. That was kind of clever, I guess.
Yeah.
And the doctor comes back, and I don't know. They leave with the doctor, and it ends all happy.
Hey, we'll be back for Christmas.
Yeah. Which that's the first time everything's all happy in the newer Doctor Who's. Because if you think about the season ending of all the other Doctor Who's, something bad always ends up happening. You know,
yeah.
Like the first one, the Doctor, you know, he regenerated. You know, the Christopher Eccleston's Doctor was basically dead. You know,
yeah.
We got a new Doctor. The end of the second one, Rose has to go to, you know, Rose is stuck in the other universe.
And Donna appears on the TARDIS.
Yeah, the end of the third one, he loses Martha because Martha decides she doesn't want to go with him anymore. And then
the Titanic bursts into the TARDIS.
Yeah, and then the end of the fourth one, that, you know, Donna can't remember the Doctor ever, or she'll explode, basically. Her head will explode. So this was the first time everything was kind of all happy. I don't know if you thought about that, but...
No, I didn't, but now that you're saying something, yeah, you're right.
And I just realized this the other day, too. It just popped in my head out of nowhere when I was thinking about it, so I didn't get it off the, you know, I had to think about it for a while. But yeah, I don't know, it just seemed off. It did, I don't know. But what did you think of the series altogether, I guess, the season?
It was not as good as the David T. Russell seasons, but it was still good. I've seen
Russell
worse
T.
TV.
Davies.
Yeah. Yeah. What I say?
David T. Russell.
Okay. Russell T. Davies.
But yeah, I agree with you. There were some good episodes I really liked, but yeah, it's what I expected, I guess. I didn't expect it to be, you know, as good as the previous ones.
No, I didn't either, but, you know, I expected the season to be a bit more creepier than it was.
Yeah, definitely.
Or I was hoping it would be.
Well, the episodes Stephen Moffat wrote were most creepy, but, yeah. But
can't wait till Christmas.
I can't either.
Where it's a clever twist on the Christmas Carol. That's all I know.
Oh really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know that. And I'm looking at the, what is this? BBC website, and it's talking about this Saturday, which is when the Big Bang premieres on BBC America, that BBC Proms which is like the what some the London Philharmonic Choir or something like that, and is doing music, and Matt Smith and Karen Gillian are doing some Doctor Who thing with them, and so that's something Doctor Who to hold us off till then, I guess.
Maybe.
Apparently, it says monsters or of the current run, you know, series are threatening to do all, you know, so that seems a bit interesting, but. The main thing I want to talk about besides the, you know, is the newest rumor about the Doctor Who movie. Basically, you know, the rumor is Johnny Depp has been casted to play the Doctor in an American, well, not, it's not an American movie,
Americanized,
but it's still done by the BBC, I think. I don't know. There's a bunch of different versions of this rumor, but and also a big budget.
I like the big budget.
I don't.
That's, you don't?
Because Doctor Who's not all about special effects. Some of the best things about Doctor Who is about in my opinion, is it's kind of campy a little. You know, it's not trying to be like Avatar or, you know, special effects. And...
No, it depends on how big the budget is. I mean, what I don't like about it is Johnny Depp. He's American. No. I mean, they've had...
Well, David Tennant was Scottish.
But David Tennant could speak with an English accent.
Well, who says Johnny Depp can't?
Me. With a believable one. I'll put it that way.
I guess. But,
the last time that Doctor Who tried to appeal to America was in the last movie.
Well, that
wasn't very good.
Yeah, I never saw it, but I heard so many bad things about it, so I don't want to see it. But, yeah, I don't know. That I just have a big problem with them wanting to make it big budget, because some of the things I like about Doctor Who is the fact that it's not, you know, it's story-driven. It's not, you don't need, you know.
Well, maybe you know, the big budget doesn't go all towards special effects, but towards the writing staff.
True, but I don't know. I'd rather have a bunch of specials, like, you know, like with the David Tennant, there's a bunch of specials after season 4. I'd rather have those than just one movie. I don't know, but yeah. So besides the Doctor being Johnny Depp, rumored to be Johnny Depp, you have no problem with this?
No. Like, there would have to be more announced officially.
Yeah. Well, nothing's been announced.
Yeah, like I said, there have to be something announced officially.
But it's rumored that, you know, Johnny Depp, big budget, you know, it's gonna appeal more to, like, American audiences, and...
No, I don't want... That's not what I want. That's the problem.
Yeah. But also, it's gonna be Russell T. Davies.
Oh, it is.
That's the rumor, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. And apparently he's the one who picked Johnny Depp, I think. I don't know.
Oh, Russell, what are you doing?
If all this is true, I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt, because Russell T. Davies knows his Doctor Who.
Yes, he does.
So, but I'm with you. I really like Johnny Depp. I'm a big Johnny Depp fan, but I don't want him to be that actor.
Yeah. I don't know who would be the actor other than, you know, have Matt Smith, if it's the current Doctor. Have the current Doctor play the Doctor. It'll be believable. Yeah.
And that also has me thinking about the whole, there's only supposed to be a certain amount of Doctors, right?
13.
A certain amount, yeah, 13. So where would this Doctor, you know?
Yeah, would he play Matt Smith's Doctor or David Tennant's Doctor? No.
Or would he be, like, after Matt Smith's Doctor, and that's just wasting one of the Doctors that could have been used on the TV series? See, that this just has me.
Yeah.
There's so much grr. but it's interesting. I'm making a prediction that something's going to be told. If the movie's real, and it is going to come out around when it says it's, when the rumor is, which the rumor's, like, late 2011-ish, 2012-ish.
We'll hear something soon.
I'm thinking at San Diego Comic-Con, because they've done Doctor Who stuff at the San Diego Comic-Con before. So they made announcements and shown stuff, so that's just my little guess. But is there anything else, Doctor Who, you want to talk about?
No. I'm all doctored out for now.
Yeah, we went a bit long on this.
We did.
Yeah, but no more Doctor Who till Christmas, so, you know. I know people like Jaybird's happy, but he's not listening to this, so, yeah. Anyways, we're, like we said before, you know, well, I guess you can, if you want to read what's been known about this rumor, you can check our website out at thegeeksftw.com.
Brand new redesigned website.
Slightly redesigned. That's what I keep saying.
Done by William.
And helped with from my fester, who helped us with the amazing, what's it called? Banner.
Yes.
In the background. But, yeah, and, you know, I posted an article, a little article about the Doctor Who rumor and all that. So, I guess check that out. But, and you could check out the rest of the site. We've got articles popping up, you know, left and right.
Daily.
Yeah.
We're starting to come out daily now.
Multiple times a day. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's mostly thanks to our new, you know, our new writer, Van Red.
Yes. Been writing his butt off.
Yeah.
And he's very good, too. So
it's been doing some good work, yeah. But whether it's Crackdown 2 reviews, Final Fantasy 13, you know, talking about Green Lantern, you know, Ryan Reynolds' Green Lantern, Futurama, just amazing. Very good. So early shout outs to Van Red for, you know, coming on the site and really helping us out. And, you know, if you can check out our site, and you can also see all the links to the other OFR or Open Forum Radio Network podcasts, such as, you know, Open Forum Radio, which has the Prove Your Point podcast on the same feed. There's the 40cast, the OFR Sportscast, and Zabari's Section Z, which are all great shows, you know.
And you can find some of those links on our website.
Yes, most of them except the Sportscast.
Yeah, the Sportscast I could not find.
Yeah, which we'll try to get that up soon. Maybe it'll be up by the time you're listening to this.
Yes.
But, okay, we want feedback. Please leave us feedback.
Yes.
Whether it's on iTunes, you know, a comment on the site, sending us an email at thegeeksftw@gmail.com. Just something. Let us know.
Or comments on our Facebook page. We have a Facebook page as well. There's multiple ways for you guys to contact us to tell us what you want us to talk about.
Yeah, because we understand, you know, not everybody wants to listen to us talk about, you know, maybe certain stuff. Like, not everybody listens to Dexter, so maybe you didn't listen to our last episode. Or, well, I guess if you're not listening to this episode, you can't hear us talk about this, but... yeah, just, and, you know, share with people, you know. If you know people who listen to our show who may not, like Jay Bird, he's not listening to this episode because he's not into Doctor Who, but we just want to talk about stuff where people would want to listen to, you know.
Yeah.
Just broaden our listener base.
Help us help you get more listeners for us.
Yes, because we just want to entertain people. We want to have fun entertaining people at the same time, so... Yeah, with that said, you know, I would say, like I said, shout out to Van Red. I want to give a shout out to iFester, you know, for helping us out, of course. I've been playing Crackdown 2 with them a lot, so, you know. And shout out to, you know, the OFR guys, of course, and, you know, everybody, you know, all our listeners, the, you know. Just leave us feedback, please.
Yes, please.
Stuart, shout out.
I would like to shout out Verizon Wireless because I'm getting a new phone in a month, and I'm getting an Android.
Which one?
Droid X, hopefully.
Awesome. You know, next month the Droid 2 is coming out.
Oh well, I will have to look when I'm there.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like the same thing, but with the keyboard, too.
Yeah, I'm getting $200 off, so.
It's the same price, so.
$200 off, whatever I get next.
Awesome. That is pretty cool. And, well, any other shout-outs?
That's all I got. Okay. No, never mind.
Alrighty. With that said, I guess this has been episode 15 of the Geeks for the Win podcast, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.